Panic and Treat the podcast is a personal podcast produced for informational and entertainment purposes only. The content reflects the host's opinions and personal experiences as new graduate nurses. It does not constitute professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
All patient details have been changed or left out to protect privacy in accordance to HIPAA guidelines. Any resemblance to real people is purely coincidental. The point of views in this podcast are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers, schools, or any organizations we are connected to. For health concerns or concerns of a general nature, please talk to a qualified professional. And with that, let's get started.
Hello, besties.
Hey, guys. It's Jess.
And it's Alora.
And this is the Panic and Treat podcast.
Welcome back. All right, lead us off. What are we drinking this week?
So Alora and I were wandering Target a couple weeks ago and found these little... hot coke. They're like hot cocoa bombs, but they're chai.
Yes.
So hers is just chai and mine's chai pumpkin. And then we put some pumpkin whipped cream on top.
So hopefully it's going to be fantastic. We haven't tried it. You're getting our live views on camera. We're a little scared.
And then we have cute little baby Yoda cups.
We did have them in aesthetic cups, but we burned our hands. So.
Yeah. Jessica's water dispenser makes the water too hot. All right, you ready?
Oopsie-deesies.
Little clinking.
Mine tastes like a chai.
Mine tastes weird, but it's okay. And let me take another sip.
It tastes like a chai.
It tastes like a chai, but it doesn't taste like pumpkin. Strange.
Dang it.
Darn it.
Whoops.
Anyway, and then of course we got our water, my friends.
I was going to say, hydrated queens around here. Big sip, big gulp.
Little gulpy.
And then I found my glass straw, everybody.
Oh, I had
lost it last week.
Do you want to do the candle?
Oh, yes.
You should do the candle this week.
Okay, so the candle this week is apple pumpkin, because, you know, fall vibes.
And I got it at Walmart. And the glass is super cute. It's like, you know, plaid.
It's like flannel.
It's not like too Halloween-y, so I can use it all.
No, it's like very fall. No, yeah. It's good. It's a good fall one. And then we have some Halloween candles coming up.
Yes, they're coming, you guys.
Uno momento, por favor.
So Jess got a new puppy.
Jess got a new puppy.
I got a new puppy.
Go look at her Instagram. Go follow Thor's Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Follow everybody's Instagram.
We'll tag Thor's Instagram so you guys can go see, because all of my dogs are on there, all three of them. But yes. Thor's the original, so
yes,
it's under his.
So while you listen to the craziness in the back there.
Yes. They're teaching the new puppy how to play. She's adorable.
Oh, she's a menace. She's got the attitude already.
Okay, so what are we going to yap about, Alora?
Okay, so while we were kind of, like, thinking, because, you know, we have a general, like, list of episodes that we want to talk about with you guys. Mm-hmm. But we kind of feel it out week by week, what we think the flow is going to be. And, you know, we just got finished up with So Many Ways to Nurse, and then our next one after that was Code Clear, and talking about nurse etiquette. So we kind of wanted to follow it up with, like, personal reflection and say, hey, as a new grad, it was really hard for us to understand what our boundaries are as nurses and how to portray that to our, like, healthcare coworkers, right?
Yeah.
So we wanted to, we don't remember what we're calling the episode, right?
You'll see when it comes out.
We're going to talk about boundaries today.
Do you want me to start off with my patient story?
I think so. We're going to, for all our podcast people and our YouTube people and all our people in general, so we're going to talk about the shift that kind of really cemented where we went from, like, very scared, didn't know how to use our voice, to you're going to have to listen to me now because we have issues and I need you to hear me when I say this.
Yeah, did you get your mom nurse voice?
Yes, your big girl voice.
Your big girl voice. So we'll talk about, so we both have had patient interactions that have taught us how to set boundaries professionally with our patients, and then kind of talk about how we set boundaries with our coworkers and people around us, because that's something that I think is a lifelong learning opportunity for people.
Yes.
I feel like it's really hard. People have a hard time setting boundaries, and we're still learning. We're still figuring it out.
Especially in healthcare, because, you know, like, you bond over such, like, I mean, it really is trauma bonding. Like, you have such, like, unique circumstances and events that really kind of create your relationships with these people. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's really hard to find where that line is where you're saying no.
And we see a lot of our patients we see on, like, the worst day of their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's another day for us at work, but to them it's like life. Some of these things are life changing, and especially like your floor, they have, like, the chronic illnesses, but, like, new things are happening, and then my floor, like, they get cancer diagnoses.
Yeah.
So learning how to set boundaries and being able to set them professionally is probably something that a lot of nurses should do.
Yes.
And new grads, I've watched a lot of new grads over the year, and you will have a day where you learn how to use your mom voice and tell these patients to knock it off.
Because... I have a story.
Do you want to tell your story first?
Let's just get right into it. Okay. So while we're on the topic of rude patients, so new grads, don't ever let anybody be rude to you. Don't let them, they're allowed to have their feelings and they're allowed to have space to have their feelings, but they're not allowed to direct that anger at you. You are not the one that caused the situation, unless you did. Were you making mistakes?
Did you make a mistake? What do you mean?
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
You didn't. We're just messing around with you.
No.
But it actually was the other night. I texted you about this, actually.
Yes,
you
already
heard about this.
Tell me again.
I was texting her in the moment about this. I was like, listen.
She's like, I'm having a meltdown right now because I'm mad.
But I had a patient who had been in the hospital for about 5 days at this point, mm-hmm. right? Because I was on a 6-day stretch. New grads, don't do that.
Please don't do that.
Don't do that. I shouldn't have been doing that.
You did it for a good reason, but Alora was unwell.
I do not like working 6 days in a row. There's a lot of studies that are now showing that it's not beneficial to work 6 days in a row. You are actually more of a risk to yourself. Mm-hmm. But that's another story for another day. Write that down,
guys.
Working as a new grad, like scheduling and stuff. But anyways, so it was my 6th day, so final night, and we were just vibing. Me and this guy, we had been in the hospital for 5 days together at this point, and he was fine, but you could start to see, you know, when you're in the hospital, it shows, it gets really tiring sitting around doing nothing, but he was getting very cooped up, you know, the vibes, so.
The cabin fever,
really. And so he was getting antsy, you know, so I was letting him, because he's a fall risk, and for all our new grads, our non-healthcare people, that means that we have decided, like, as a team committee, and through our patient screenings, that this man could not be independent in the room without help, just because of, you know, like just oxygen requirements, like previous injuries, you know, just general. There's a lot of things that go into it. But anyway, so he scored really high on this. So there was literally no way anybody was going to make him independent in the room. And he was so upset about this. And he was starting to scream. He was really mad with the day shift all 5 days. And then I would come on and he would just vent a little bit. And I'm like, you know what? Have your peace.
Sorry.
But no. But we never really had an issue. But,
You guys were vibing.
Mm-hmm. But on that fifth night, so this is before the final night, the fifth night, I had given him the option to sign a fall refusal. Because he had been, he was cursing profanities at the day shift, and they were not saying anything. Like, it had gotten to the point where he was being just, very rude and non-compliant with his cares as well. Mm-hmm. So when I got on shift, I was like, what's going on, my friend? Because we were fine. I was like, what is going on? I was like, how can we remedy this? Because something is making you feel a certain type of way right now. And we can fix this somehow, mm-hmm. I think. And I had offered up many solutions. I was like, let's just ambulate around more. We can do labs. I can have them order during the day. So they actually have to come in and do it. It's like part of their order set. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling like you're being dismissed a little bit, we can do a lot of other things. Like, I gave so many options, but he was like, I want none of it. I want to sign a fall refusal. And I was like, cool. That is fine. You know what? Like, if that's where we need to be right now, and you need to, because this is a sick man. I'm like, you should not be leaving AMA. Please don't leave AMA.
Yeah, you're like,
Some people, we just give them the form
some
and say,
people we slide over and we're like, here you go.
Be on your way. But him, he knew he was very sick too. And I was like, you're just going to be right back here. I was like, let's fix this now. So he signed the fall refusal after we went through all the other options. And he was like, I think I feel a lot better. Thank you. And I left that conversation feeling really good, actually, because I was like, okay, maybe it's not exactly what we wanted, but we found a solution that's going to work for you.
Sometimes you have to pick your battles, right?
You have to pick your battles.
Do you want to be fighting with this man all night?
Yeah.
Or you might have to do some fall charting, whatever.
Yeah, that's but I was, and I told, and I was like, hey, I was like, dude, you're weak. And he knows he's weak. And he was fine with it. So at the end of the day, I was like, we have fixed the issue, the main issue. Like, we're going to be fine now. I left the shift and he was happy as go lucky can be. And then I came onto the shift the next night. This is my final and sixth night. I'm doing the med pass with him. And I'm like, how was the day now that you were able to get up and walk a little bit around more on your own? And he went, oh, it was great. But I want to tell you something. And I was like, oh, let me know. And he said, you were a fucking bitch to me last night. Word for word. And I just paused my med pass and went, what?
I'm sorry.
No, I was like, I was just so professional and competent and, like, not mean. And I really tried to persuade him not to sign the followers. I was like, in what world?
You educated.
Literally, I educated. I did my job as a nurse. And I looked right at him and I said, that was not an okay thing to say to me. And he just kind of got real quiet for a second. Because nursing, we do not tolerate that. That's not okay. Like, they should not be allowed to call you. This is an ANO4 person who knows that they should not be saying mean things like that.
Millennial and upper nurses, we can learn from our little Gen Zs. Because they
don't take... And I didn't say anything, but I said that was not okay to say to me.
You guys don't take shit from nobody. Listen, yeah, I would have been like, that's nice.
No, I looked at him and I was like, that's not okay. And I do not appreciate being called that. I was like, I know you're in a place of hurt right now, but that was not okay.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, shoot. Sorry, I didn't mean to act like that. And I was like, okay. I was like, is there anything else you need to get off your chest right now in a professional manner? And my CNA actually was outside sitting in the hallway. And she went, Alora, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I don't think anybody's ever gotten mad at you before. And I was like,
yeah. Like, I know.
I was like, I know, actually. I'm really glad I handled it the way I did. And I asked her and I was like, did I sound like a bitch? I was like, was I a fucking bitch right now? Was I being mean? No, because I was like, maybe it wasn't coming off the way I thought it was coming off, you know? And she said, no, that sounded very professional. Like, I don't think anybody would have handled that any better, actually. She said, I would have just walked out of the room. And I was like, no. I was like, I was going to help that man. And I know he was in a really rough place, too.
Yeah.
Like, you have to understand that, but at the same time, you're not going to call me. You're not going to call me names. Well,
and I feel like sometimes people are their worst enemy, you know? Like, cabin fever is a real thing. Jessica's dealing with it right now. She's ready to go back to work, you guys. I've been off work for 6 weeks, and I'm dying. But being able to just get out and move around, I feel like as nurses, sometimes we forget that, like, we get to go home at the end of the day. They don't sometimes. And so, D should probably could have handled that better. But I think you did a good job staying, like, professional and not talking bad about your other coworkers, which I feel like is an easy thing to do.
This man was, like, a little bit like pit, you know, the shifts against each other kind of situations.
Yes.
And I don't think patients understand that we all talk together. Like, we are not just like, oh, my God, F the day shift. I don't like him either. No, like, no, I know you guys are probably trying, and he was a little bit non-compliant with CARES anyway, so this was just a lot of things snowballing.
Like, my favorite thing to say to patients when they're upset about stuff like that is, I'm sorry that you have that experience. Mm-hmm. What can I do to make it better?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to make it better from here on out? Because we can't go back and fix things. I know that you're upset.
You have to acknowledge it.
You have to acknowledge it. You have to, I mean, and healthcare is turning into, like, a customer service thing. If you don't know, we are nurses. We are not housekeeping. Mm-hmm. We are not, it is not the Four Seasons, okay? Like, you were there because you were sick, and we are there to take care of you and make you better so that you can go home. But a lot of patients think that, like, it's a 5-star resort and that it's, like, you know, drop of a dime. And it's like, no, I have four or five other patients that we have to worry about.
And while I'm going to provide the very best care to every single one of you, it's not going to be in your room at every second of the day. There's a lot of things going in the background that is going to help you in the long run, but it's not going to be in the room. And I think that's kind of where the frustration comes from, because you're sitting in the room
and you don't see what we're doing. Yeah. And so, like, for us, it's just another day at work. And I think we forget sometimes that, like, to them, they're the only patient that we have. And so I think you handled it really well by not hitting the shifts against each other. And you worked to find a solution that was safest for him, even though he refused that safe plan. You have a right. We have a right to refuse whatever we want.
And you do.
You have a right to walk out of there and be like, I'm done.
I'm just glad he didn't.
I am too. But I'm just saying, like, you handled it really well, and you set the boundary, because after you said that was your boundary setting. You didn't have to sit down and be like, hey, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
You were just like, that wasn't cool. And to him, that was the boundary, and he was good for you the rest of the night, wasn't he?
Yeah. We didn't have an issue past that. He even apologized in the morning. He said, I've been in a really rough situation, and I am feeling just, like, very unsure, and I don't know what's going on, and I'm just very anxious about it, and I took that out on you. And I was like, I know, but I also understand. And I was like, we are okay.
Yeah.
We've been okay. We made it through six nights together, and he was discharging the next day. I was like, we did that together.
You're like, man. We're chilling.
I've never had a patient as long as, because usually, you know, everybody leaves after about 2 or 3 days. Like, yeah. That's kind of how it's supposed to be. But I had 3 patients that I did the entire stretch with, and they were discharging the day that I was leaving. And I was like, that was nice. You people are cool.
I had a patient a couple months ago, and she was actually a nurse, and she was there. She was an older lady, and she was a little bit delirious. She was getting that, like, hospital. She was really sick. Mm-hmm. But she's cracking me up. I was changing her midline dressing one day, and my CNA was holding her arm because she was confused. And she looked at me, and I had her arm out like this, and she goes, I'm a little shit. I was like, are you now? And I was just like, she was like giggling about it. It was the first time this woman had giggled, and I had her for like several days. And I was like, okay, she's giggling. So I was like, oh, that's nice. And then she just kept giggling about it. And I was like, oh my gosh. And the door was open. And of course it was the room right by the elevators. And I was like, These people are going to walk by and think I'm cussing at my patients.
I always feel bad when I have like those very hard of hearing people. Yeah. And I'm screaming at them because that's all they can. Like, I just like very, very loud voice. And you can hear me from across the unit. And I'm like, oh.
You're like, sorry.
I'm like, I swear to God, I'm not yelling at anybody, please.
I'm a loud talker. People have to tell me to be quiet all the time. And I'm like, sorry, guys.
I know. I forget that, like, you know, I have a voice. And that when I'm in the room, like, I just forget that there's no soundproofing at all. So people will literally just be listening to me and my patient yap from outside the door. Because, you know, a desk will be right there. And they're like, we really like when you talk to people.
I know. You're funny. I love listening on conversations with you, like, and other people.
Or I'll be, like, talking to them. And they'll be like, oh, can I get a blanket? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll grab you a blanket. And I'm so loud that the CNAs heard me. From across the hall, so they got me a blanket. And I'm like,
you're like, thanks. That wasn't my goal.
I was like, oh my god, I was going to get it. And they were like, we know, we heard you. I was like, oh my god.
So I'll tell you my patient story. So I had a patient. This is a very well known patient to us. He's been
battling. Okay. Hold on. Is this your boundary? Like your okay, one of your nurse boundaries?
Yeah. Okay. So I've taken care of this patient as a CNA, an OPN, and an RN now.
You're like, we have moved through this together, friend.
Yes. He's been battling alcoholism for like a really long time, and so we see him frequently. But he is also the same. He likes to pit the shifts against each other.
A little bit.
And I'm like, we're not doing that. And he knows that I don't do that.
That's a little naughty.
Yeah, he knows that I don't do that. So I think he's kind of like, god damn it, when I walk in the room and I'm like, hey, I'm going to be a nurse tonight. He's like, crap. He was going through a really, really rough time medically. Mm-hmm. This shift that I had him, and I walked in and he was screaming at the doctor. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And of course, this was one of our, I don't know. It was one of our doctors with an accent. So A, it's really hard to understand them sometimes. B, it was a crazy day. This doctor was rounding on this patient at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's how crazy the day was. Oh, I'm like, I feel like they don't round that late usually.
No, they're usually so like on top of it. Yeah. Like it must have been a crazy day.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, and he was like cussing and screaming at her. And I was like, let's not do that. And I walked in there and I said, are you okay? She went, I don't know what's wrong. And I said, okay. And I looked at him and I said, what is your issue right now? And he went, I can't understand her. And I said, okay. So there's a nicer way to tell her that. I said, what is your question? And he just looked at me and he was like, I just need her to tell me what's going on. And I said, okay. And I looked at the doctor and I said, can I? And she went, yeah. So I stepped in and I said, this is what we're doing. This is the plan that she has set out for you.
This very thorough doctor.
Yes. And I said, do you have any questions for her? And he went, no. And I said, okay. And so she went, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. And she left. And I said, I don't appreciate you talking to people like that.
Yeah.
I said, this isn't our first rodeo. I said, you know how this works. I said, if you have questions and you can't understand somebody, that's not how you talk to a human. I said, she's a doctor, but she's a human. Yeah. And I said, you wouldn't want somebody talking to you like that. So don't talk to people like that. And he, still to this day, he waves at me and he goes, hi. And I'm like, behave yourself. You know better. This is not the first rodeo.
You're like, I know you.
We don't talk to people like that.
I know. And I to some extent, I guess I don't understand why you would be so mean to people. Because, you know, I've been the patient on the other side of that, getting a bad day. Well, not a bad, I'm a hypochondriac, everybody. So I have convinced myself I had cancer about 5 times in the past 3 years. My primary doctor thinks I'm fucking psycho.
She texts me and I'm like, really? Like, you're fine.
I have a lot of health anxiety, so I chose to go into healthcare.
It's Woo! Fine. We all
have literally issues. That was literally half the point of me going into healthcare. I was like, if I'm going to have health anxiety, I might as well know what I'm talking about. But I think, what, a year or two ago? It was during nursing school. Mm-hmm. But I ended up with a lump in my armpit, right?
I'll remember
and,
that.
I was convinced I had cancer. It was in the left armpit, too. It's more likely to get, like, metastasized, like, spread cancer mm-hmm. because it was in the left armpit. And it was, like, very hard, immovable. It wasn't painful. I was convinced. So I was having, like, the worst couple weeks of my life. And I definitely felt, like, from the other side of it, it was really hard to kind of wait for my, like, test results and everything to come back and, like, see. And my nurses, they were wonderful people. But, man, it was so frustrating on my end. But did I ever think that I was going to cuss them out? No. I'm like, was I not the nicest person ever? I was, like, kind of very flat, and I was, like, very, like, sad.
Very just, cancer's a very stressful topic for everybody.
Yeah.
Even us as nurses, like, we can't go in and be like, oh, by the way, you have cancer, right? A doctor yeah. has to do that. But, like, you know.
Yeah.
We know what those yeah. test results
so, like, was I sad and was I a little withdrawn? Yes. But was I cussing at the nurse for not giving me the answers I needed or the doctor for not being quick enough to, like, do what they needed to do? Or, like, was I going to scream at everybody because my, like, ultrasound was a week after, you know, when I made that appointment? No. Well, because that is not okay to do as a human being. We don't treat other human beings like that.
Yes. I always err on, like, do they need a minute? Like, did I just walk into a moment where they were, like, they realized something, they just got off the phone, they got a text message. I always try to, like, give them that moment, and I'm like, do you need mm-hmm. me to come back? Like, yeah. I will look at people straight up and be like, do you need me to step out for a minute? Are you okay? Can we do what I'm here to do with you?
Yeah.
Do you need to talk about it? Like, what do you need from me to make this better for you?
And that's all you can do yeah. sometimes.
But I would do that. If I saw somebody crying in the grocery store, I would ask them if they were okay.
Literally.
You know, like, just being a good human. Like, did you see that lady that got stabbed on the subway?
I can't watch that video. It makes me cry within the first couple seconds every time I see her.
Where the heck were those human beings that were around her?
You know,
seriously,
I don't know. I really don't know. Cause you know, like I think, I don't know. Cause the video, I only watched it cause I couldn't watch all of it.
I couldn't watch it either. I was so mad.
It was very surreal to watch a human life like end on camera. So I wasn't going to watch that. I don't think that was kind to her. That was not dignifying, but I did watch the first couple seconds the first time cause I didn't know what I was watching.
I didn't know what I was watching.
And first I couldn't tell that she had been wounded at first mm-hmm. cause she just looked very scared and very hurt. But then I guess, and that's kind of where I stopped it. Cause then I looked at the comments and I saw that she died.
Yeah.
And she was all alone and she was scared. And that like made me so sad. I'm going to tear up.
Anyways. I know. But yeah.
The
world needs to do better. We need to do better as human beings. We need to treat people.
It's like, I wouldn't have seen it at first, but they did see later that there were several images of her with like, you know, the fluids. I'm not going to say anything cause I don't want us to get censored or anything.
Yeah.
On the floor and nobody helped her. Nobody helped her.
No.
And that's not okay.
But, okay, back on topic, sorry. But I had to bring that up, I don't know why.
But yeah, at the end of the day, like, you can be better to your fellow humans.
Be better to your fellow humans.
As a patient, I've been a patient.
As a patient, as a nurse, as a coworker.
Yes.
I learned how to set boundaries professionally with other people when I was a CNA. When I worked at the hospital I worked at before, we work now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a doctor, and I worked nights. There was a doctor, and they had calls. They were covering, like, multiple different hospitals.
Oh, gosh.
Like, patients from multiple different hospitals, because it was oncology.
That's crazy.
But this doctor was very, very nice. He was a very nice man. One night, he called the nurse's station, and I answered the phone, and he immediately started screaming at me on the phone.
Yeah, like, whoa, friend, take it down a notch.
Nobody was at the nurse's station for me to be like, I don't know what he needs. But I'm going to change his name so he doesn't get called out. But I went, Dr. Jones, I'm going to stop you right there. And he stopped. And I said, let me go get somebody who gets paid for you to yell at them.
Yeah.
And he hung up the phone.
Oh.
He hung up the phone. Oh. And I was like, oh, I guess you really need to talk to somebody. So the chargers came back to the nurse's station. I was like, hey, just so you know, Dr. Jones called and was screaming. And she's like, about what? And I was like, I have no idea. He hung up on me. And she was like, oh, okay, cool. And then later that night, he actually, like, came in. And we used to call it the doc box, where all the doctors would sit and hide. And it was, like, a little, like, nook. And he was in there and I walked by and he goes, hey. And I went, hi. And he goes, are you the one I yelled on the phone earlier? And I went, yeah. And he goes, I'm really sorry I yelled at you. And I was like, you should probably not yell at the nurses like that. And he goes, Tracy. He goes, I'm having a really bad night. And I'm like, I'm really we sorry about that.
I don't care.
I don't care. I don't care. Like, just set a boundary. Like, that's where I went. Like, sometimes you have to be like, hey, that's not okay. You have to say, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Stop.
Got a very similar story after
we're
that.
We're setting a boundary. And then we can professionally have a conversation about what your need is from me. But, like, so I think about that when I'm talking to people and I'm upset about stuff. Because, like, everybody gets upset. We all have moments where we're mad about something. But, like, how do I professionally, and towards another human being, express my anger without it being inappropriate? Like, it's okay to be like, I'm really upset right now.
Yeah.
But how do, like, I think we all
we should do an episode on that. Like, yes. Like, ways to deal with, like, your stress in the moment. Because you're going to have anger moments. You're going to have moments where you feel, like, very overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Where emotions are just running high.
Walk
and
away.
There's going to be different ways. Because you can't do that.
Sometimes you can't walk away. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't put that emotion onto other people.
Yes.
You got to work with these people.
We'll write that
down. Okay, we're going to write that down.
Okay. So we're going to talk for...
Okay, I have a doctor's story, too. I have worked with a doctor, yes, I'm going to call her a doctor. I've worked with a doctor who has had very, 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 very smart woman. Like, probably one of the sharpest people I've ever met. But, man, she is not nice.
She's known for being mean to new grads.
She is known for being mean to new grads. And, I've never had, like, direct meanness. She said some things, though, to other people that I'm like, I really wish I had been on the shift at the time.
Yeah.
And told her to knock her shit off.
I never worked with her.
Whenever I call her, like, because she used to work here. She doesn't work here anymore. I used to call.
She's gone.
That night. And I had to call her for something, right? And I think it was about, because it's always about heart rhythms, man. I get a lot of respiratory patients.
You and your freaking
and
cardiac
and
respiratory
patients. And I get a lot of cardiac. And I'm like, what the hecky heck is going on right now? I'm like, you aren't even here for this. What is happening? Anyways, they were having runs of ETAC.
Oh, gosh.
Which usually means that you are electrolyte deficient, fun fact. So usually your magnesium's a little bit low. Mm-hmm. I did not know that as a new grad. This was like fresh off of orientation. Nobody ever teaches you that. If they did in school, I don't remember it. So I'm not saying that I didn't learn it, but I'm not saying I did.
I'm not going to lie to you. When we did all the electrolyte stuff and the teacher that taught us this, we love you. I'm sorry. she knows who she is. She was like, you guys need to learn this. She taught us 2 semesters. There's like certain symptoms that are like cardiac symptoms for electrolyte imbalances. Because I know like that's why we ask for, like a lot of nurses ask for Tally when they run potassium and stuff.
But I didn't know that VTAC specifically can be a magnesium issue.
I didn't know that either.
Fun, the more you know nurses, when the doctor asks you, just immediately tell them that what their magnesium is if they've gotten one in the hospital. Learn from my mistakes.
Yeah.
Anyways, so instead of just saying, like, oh, hey, can you tell me what their magnesium was, you know, because she said, well, Laura, I need you to think really hard right now because I know you don't do that very often. And then she said, what else are you forgetting to tell me? And so I'm scrambling because I had already told her
that you're a bitch.
I had already told her the vitals. I had already told her that she wasn't, that this patient wasn't having any outward cardiac symptoms that I could see other than just having the runs of ETAC every once in a while, which that's so scary to me. Now I know a little bit more and I'm like, oh. But anyways, so I told the vitals and I had given a cardiac history as well. Like I was trying to be as prepared for this woman as I could because I knew that she did not like when people said, I don't know. So I was trying so hard and I was panicking at this point because I was like, I don't know. I was like, I've literally told you everything. She's like, you're forgetting something. Tell me. And she wouldn't help me out. And it was just like, it's not the way to educate, you know, like I just... not the way to educate.
So
finally I said, I don't know what you want from me. And it was not professional. I was very frustrated at that point because she had been like very vague, like beat around the bush. And then she just hung up on me. And I went, fine. Okay, that's the end of that. Only to come upstairs when everybody was sitting in the charting area with me and grill me about how I didn't understand cardiac functions and that I needed to know that magnesium plays a factor into VTAC. And I was like, and I cried. I was very new to nursing. I cried. I stepped out and I cried. Nobody was going to see me cry.
You're not the only one that she's done that to.
I know, but I was I felt so publicly humiliated. And you know what? Shame on my coworkers a little bit. Every single person sat there and watched me like get really red in the face and then go to cry. Like, they knew I was crying. They didn't come find me either.
I would never
do that to coworkers.
No.
And I just, maybe it's because I've been in that position, but like some of the things that they said about this previous doctor, I'm like, I wish I had been there on that shift. So back to the story. So I came back after I'd had my cry and I was like, wait a minute, why am I crying? I was like, that is not okay how she acted. Her magnesium was fine. You guys, patient's magnesium. Anyways. So I came back like about 20 minutes later and I was like, why am I crying? I was like, absolutely not. I did not deserve to be talked. And she was still on the floor, just yapping away. And I like kind of sat down right next to her and I said, that was not okay how you talked to me.
What'd she say?
She just kind of looked at me and I was like, I did not appreciate that. And I was like, I know you're a very smart woman and you are very intelligent. And I know that was you trying to educate in a way that you think was helpful. But I was like, you need to work on your delivery. That was not okay. You could have told me that this electrolyte affects cardiac rhythms like this. And you know what? Did I ever forget it? No, but also
in the interest of patient care, that was a delay in care.
Literally, it was.
Her grilling you instead of just being like, hey, can you tell me their magnesium real quick? Yeah. Delay in care.
I
would have RO6'd the shit out of her, and I would have written a nasty email to the medical director.
I said, there is a better way to educate on what you are wanting from me as a nurse instead of playing this game. That way I know for the future. And I was like, that makes me not want to talk to you. And I was like, that's not okay because I cannot hesitate to tell you patient information.
Yeah, I have to call you.
Yeah, and so we had to have a heart to heart, and I'd be like, I will literally go to HR the next time.
Was she better?
Like, yeah. I never had an issue again.
Once again, we need to learn from the Gen Z's.
Obviously, I'm red in the face. I'm puffy, man. You're like, man. No, because I was literally just sobbing in the breakout room.
So I was like, obviously. You didn't go to the dirty
slide. That's where I started, but then I was like, I can't be here right now.
Hey, friends, drop your favorite place to cry at work. I think you're not a real nurse if you've never cried in
the room. We had to have a professional conversation about how she treats nurses.
Oh my God.
She's like, I didn't mean it to come off like that, but I'm like, but that's how it did.
But that's how you did it.
And I was like, and I said, this is not the first time. I have known several other people on this floor that you've done that too, that feel the exact same way.
And you called her out?
I did.
Oh, I love you.
I did. Because I said that was not okay. I was like, your delivery sucks. Not in that way. I said it more professionally.
I would have said that. I would have been like, that's not.
But I said, literally, I just cried. I just cried.
Yeah, thank you for being mean.
I was like, I can't do that again. I won't do that again. So let's get it together. And obviously, like, I learned a little bit more about what she wants from me during an S-bar. You know, that's why we kind of went over what should be in the S-bar.
Yes.
Learn from my mistakes, apparently. Yes. But yeah, like, it's just, you have got to say when things are uncomfortable. But you can't say it in an unprofessional way. You have to meet them in the middle somewhere. Like, I apologize. I shouldn't have apologized, but I did. I was like, sorry, I didn't know what you wanted. But at the same time, you acting the way you did and communicating the way you did was not okay. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was good.
I don't know. Like, should I apologize? No, I did in the moment, but
You know what? I've learned in my 31 years on this planet, sometimes the best way to diffuse a situation is to say you're sorry. Even if you don't have anything to be sorry about, sometimes that's all people need to hear.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, like, you worked in customer service, like, when people are upset about something, if you say, oh, I'm really sorry about that.
No, don't be sorry if they're fucking wrong.
I know, but sometimes it just diffuses the situation. And they calm down, and then you can get to the real root of the problem.
Or instead of saying I'm sorry, you say maybe I could have handled this situation differently.
Yes.
Like, instead of saying, because if you're not sorry, like, if you don't have anything to be sorry for, don't be sorry. Like, I shouldn't have said I was sorry, because I wasn't. I was literally not in the wrong in any single point in that.
Fair.
But I should have said maybe I could have handled the situation differently.
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta diffuse the situation, my friend.
Yeah, sometimes. But at the end of the day, like, you have got to set those boundaries. Mm-hmm. You cannot, like, don't let somebody be mean to you for the sake of being mean, because you are gonna meet people that are gonna do it.
But also,
some people are gonna thrive on it.
Don't sit there while other people are being inappropriate to your coworkers either.
Yes. Do not. This is a team.
There's a way to professionally interject into a conversation that is not being productive.
Like, had I actually been a part of the conversations that this doctor had had with other people, I could have been like, hey, maybe you need to go take a breather for a second. This is not a productive conversation.
Yes.
And that could have stopped that right now. And then they could have come back together once they cooled down a little bit. But, you cannot, and then I do the same thing with my nursing people too. Like if I'm having, I don't think I've ever really had like arguments like that with my coworkers over stuff like that. But,
no, it's just,
sometimes you do have to like walk away and let people, you know, do their thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, and then I guess my other thing is, I learned a very valuable thing. If you are ever part of a code, and tensions get high, like the emotions get high. Like a lot of people start yelling because maybe you're the new grad in the room who's never recorded before.
That's another episode, guys.
We're going to talk about that. Do a pulse check.
Yes.
And maybe your respiratory therapist is screaming at you because you don't know what to do a pulse check.
Just remember, codes can be chaotic, but they shouldn't be because everybody should have a job.
Yes.
And everybody should know what that job is and the way they should run that job. But also, what is that
per se? I don't know. If per se, like, the emotions are heightened and people say things, like, maybe, like, just are very aggressive with the manner that they're saying things, that is the one time I would say never take it to heart at all, you know?
Well, and that's what a debrief is for.
Yes.
That's where you're like, hey, I really didn't appreciate the way you talked to me, like, during that situation. Can we work towards better communication in the future?
Yeah.
You know, like... That's what the debrief's for, but also closed circuit communication. The whole communication in a code should be like, if a doctor says one of epi and you're the nurse, you should say one of epi in. Done. Literally. That is what the communication in the code should be. It should be literally like to the point, closed loop. You just repeat back what they said, repeat back that you did it. Like it's, there should be no like, oh, that makes me, your code situation made me so mad.
We're going to talk about it someday. It was just interesting, but that's why I say it, because I felt really bad afterwards, because I felt like I'd messed everything up. I did not. Fun fact, I got wonderful reviews, raving reviews,
yeah.
Anyways, it's another day, another story, but I felt really bad afterwards, because I felt like people were not kind to me, but at the same time, I would have done the exact same thing in that situation, because I was literally somebody who was fumbling.
Yeah.
Fumbling for a whole 2 minutes there. Fumbling! But afterwards, I was like, wait, everybody's tensions are usually high during COVID. Like, it's very like, I need to help this patient. And it's very hard to be a part of a team. Sometimes I think, especially when you're like, I wish I could just do it all on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there was a way to save this person on my own, like I'd be doing it already. And that's what everybody has going into a code. And so it like makes the tensions a little bit high, you know?
Yeah.
And unless you've worked with these people forever and ever, and you all are just a well-oiled machine and know exactly what to do. Give yourself grace.
We don't have codes on the floor very often, my friends.
Yeah. Give them grace. Give everybody grace and take nothing to heart.
Yes, codes are very rare on the floor.
Because it's a whole different environment and it means nothing. Literally, break off and move on from that. That's my advice for that.
Yeah.
But boundaries, man. Boundaries. You gotta have them. And the sooner you learn it, the better. Like, I think it gets very hard as a new grad because you're, like, feeling very new in this space. And you don't know exactly where you stand in the hierarchy of medicine.
we're going to do an episode on Jessica's gentle co-working. And I can't wait to tell you about this book. I read The Let Them Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about that book yet?
No.
Ugh, when we do the gentle co-working, I'll tell you about it. But that lady is a freaking genius.
Okay.
It relieves a lot of my anxiety about, like, professional situations.
Okay, well, I mean, before we talk about that, if y'all want to read the book and then give us your thoughts on it when you do the episode, please do.
I'll link it in the show notes when we do the show notes below. I'll put it in there for you guys to check out. But that lady, she's a genius. Genius. I love that book. It has really helped me in my personal life, my professional life, my friendships, my relationships, all of those things. It's a really good book. She does a good job about, like, some self-reflection and self-growth.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of, like, new grads need, like, right off the bat. It's just confidence in what they're doing.
Yep.
Like, think...
You know.
Like, you don't have to be, like, the most knowledgeable person in the room, because you're not going to be.
You know things, yes. And you're a valuable member of a team.
And you're allowed to have the space to say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I need somebody to teach me, and I'll be better for it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's a lot about what boundaries are at this point when you're a new grad.
Yeah, it's like learning to admit when you don't know.
Yes, and just having everybody on that level, because I think people treat you differently, but in a better way.
Yes.
When you say, hey, I don't understand, but I'm willing to learn, because then now all your coworkers understand, like, hey, she needs to learn these things. Mm-hmm. She needs new knowledge, but we can deliver this in a better way.
Yes.
And I think it always is good to have the conversation of how you, like, reflection and maybe how you take criticism, too.
Yes.
Because, criticism
we
is so hard.
We talked about that constructive criticism and how to take constructive criticism.
Yes.
So go back and listen to that episode if you didn't.
You should. I feel like we always are going to keep coming back to that, because nursing care is just, like, so big on self-reflection.
Yes.
And the only way you can learn how to, like, manage your boundaries better is to, like, self-reflect and be like, where am I comfortable being at?
Well, that's why they call it practicing medicine. You know, like, doctors, like, as a team, we, after something, we call them adverse events, but every time that happens, or, like, sentinel events happen, we take a moment at the end to debrief and see what we could have done better and what we can do better next time. And I know they're, like, horrible moments in people's lives, but, like, we're learning as we go, guys. There's no, like, yes, there are, like, things that are set, but they're always changing. Healthcare is changing daily, yes. Moments by moments changing. And so I think as providers, we need to, like, as nurses and providers and CNAs and everything, like, it's okay. Like, you're going to make mistakes, but it's you have to admit that you made a mistake, and you have to handle it in a professional way, and you got to learn how to do that, because the first time you ever make a mistake, you're gonna be like, oh my god, I just made a mistake, and you're not gonna want to tell anybody, but you have to, because it might not be, you might not be the only one that's made that mistake, and it gives time, or it gives the space for us to figure out if it's a flaw in the system, is it a flaw in a process, mm-hmm. is it lack of education, is it lack of knowledge, like, what do we need to do to fix this so this never happens again for everybody? And we always joke about RL6s, and a lot of people think they're punitive, but they're not meant to be punitive. They're meant to be,
for anybody that doesn't know what an RL6 is,
it's like
our, like, safety reporting system that we use, yes. At our hospital, that allows us to report maybe, like, a med error that was done, or maybe, like, medical equipment malfunctions, or maybe professional work environment
professional
issues.
Conduct is on there.
Yeah.
Or safety
There's
issues.
A bunch of stuff
yeah.
we can do.
Like, it's just a way that we, like, track events that have happened in the hospital. But it's one of those things, like, a lot of people think it's punitive, and it's not. And if it is, then your manager or your boss is using it wrong. It is meant to be a way for us to look at events that have happened and look at, okay, like I said, is it a flaw in the system? Is it a flaw in a procedure, a policy? Like, where is the flaw that led to this event? Was it human error?
Except sometimes your RL6 goes to the community board for fucking fluids.
The peer review.
I will tell this story another time.
Another day, yeah. We'll tell that story another day.
So many things that have happened.
You were so mad. The weird things happen to Alora.
I feel like I can't get a break sometimes.
She texts me sometimes from work, and she's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, that's weird.
My life is meant for social media.
Listen, you are a good person to learn from.
I know. I'm like, I've always got a story for something, because I've done it.
We do stupid stuff sometimes, guys.
I loved what you were saying, and I had a little idea pop into my head while you were talking. Boundaries with CNAs. That's a new one that I felt was very hard to, like, manage. Once I had become a nurse.
It's because we were CNAs.
But I think a lot of new grads, because, you know, a lot of, and I was thinking, I was like, new grads struggle with delegation.
Yes.
Because they don't know, like, what nurses can do and then what CNAs can do. But, you know, we had that whole episode.
Yes. Go back and listen to that one.
It's even harder when your CNA pushes against your boundaries as a nurse and wants you maybe to do more of their job than what you can do at that point safely. I think it's an issue. I think it's not what I think it's something I feel like I've seen it all over social media. People have talked about it before, but it's hard to work with team members who continually to push your boundaries as a person, because they want them to make their lives a little bit easier, but you have a higher scope of practice that needs to be fulfilled first.
Yes. I think, guys, drop down in the comments if you've had situations where, or any of your stories, and maybe we can make this that an episode, like stories of people pushing your boundaries and how you handled it, or how you wish you would have handled it and what actually, like, what happened and what you wish would have happened. Because we'd like to know. We'd like to hear. But I have seen that on TikTok, like, and stuff too. Like, people struggling with, and it goes back to that.
I've seen it firsthand too. Because when I used to work, I was CNA at the long-term care, right? And we had this new grad come to work with us because, she had been declined from the hospital from that round because she got in too late, right? Like, did the application and stuff too late. Brilliant nurse. She's at the hospital now. Thank God. She's on the cardiac floor, actually.
Oh, okay.
I told you, she's a smart cookie. But anyway, so she was a new grad on our floor and, or not on our floor, on the hallway that I was on. We're talking about 16 to 20 patients.
Yes.
So actually that was less than the other sides. Because I used to work on the rehab side, right? Mm-hmm. But I had this mean old lady CNA, and that's nothing against my older CNAs. Like, they have so much experience, but this lady was mean. She should have retired. She made my life a living hell when I was over there. Because she was like the eat your young version of a CNA.
Ew.
Yeah, and I'm like, first of all, I have stories about her. Oh, she's retired now.
We got to move away from this area. So I talk about
Anyways, and so she would just leave the floor and say, "Oh man, I need to go take a smoke break." And she would leave for hours and hours. And she would be like, "Oh yeah, you can do the cares and everything while you're here," because she just thought she was like much. Because, you know, she'd been working for as long as she had.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm much better than this, like, brand new nurse. Like, so they would leave her on the floor. And this poor girl did not know how to stand up and say, hey, I need you to come back and do your job. So she would be doing, like, she would be taking people to the bathroom. She'd be helping feed people. She'd be doing all this. And this was very helpful.
No offense, CNAs, but the long-term care nurses don't have time for that.
But I was like, girl, I barely have time to do that as a nurse on my floor with only six patients.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I have more, like, complex issues going on. But anyways. So, oh gosh, they're here.
The family's here.
Moving on.
Everybody's coming over to my house for dinner.
Dancing with the Stars tonight.
Moving on. Anyway.
But anyways, so she would just do all of this, and she didn't have time. So she'd be there 3 hours late just charting and trying to get
these
med
passes. Oh, I
know
what you're talking about. I worked with her, too.
Yes.
I know
you're talking about. She was just the nicest person ever, but she could not say no.
No.
And I really wish I had been a nurse at the time, and I wish I'd been able to say to her, stand up for yourself and tell that fucking mean-ass CNA
to come
back. I was like, I would have reported her so fast to HR. And they're like, she's not doing anything. I'm like, that's fraud. That is fraud.
Learn from you little Gen Zers.
Literally. And I wish I had been there at the time when I was. But then she would look at me when I came on, because I worked the weekends, and we would always work together, at least, because she would work 16 hours a day.
Yes, that's insane.
Because they had messed with her schedule. Oh, man, that poor girl. I wish I had been there. I wish I'd been where I'm at right now and able to help her and say, no, you're not going to work 16 hours, 3 days a week in a row at a time. You're not going to do that. And you're not going to let these people walk all over you. But I would walk on shift, and she would just be so happy and, like, relieved on her face, because she's like, I can actually do my job now.
Yes.
Because you're here to do your job.
Yes.
So, also, my CNAs, don't test those boundaries. Do your job. Don't push things off onto the nurse that you know you can do realistically.
Yes.
Like I said, we have this delegation episode where there are going to be times you need to ask for help.
Yes.
But do not be lazy. I hate lazy people. Ugh. Can't stand them.
Well, everybody's here for dinner, so we better get moving.
We have Dancing with the Stars and Robert Irwin to go see.
Thank you for listening to us. Yeah. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. Take care, my new grads. Don't worry. You're going to get this together. I believe in you.